Now, if you're turning your Bibles, turn to the book of Exodus, chapter 20, between verses 8 through 11. And yes, that tone you hear, you try to figure it out. You can't figure out where it came from. And it seems to start and stop at the same time. Now hear God's word. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male or female servant, or your cattle or your sojourner who stays with you. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for granting us this time of worship, a time of joy to be able to celebrate communion today. And we ask you to bless your servant as he proclaims the truth, give him a convicting power and fidelity. Careful listeners, attentive to you, we ask, Lord, that you would forgive us of our sins and grant us repentant hearts in Christ's name. Amen. Please be seated.
If you would keep opening your Bibles, Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 through 11. We are departing from 1 Peter just for this week. I've been here as your pastor here for nearly 3 years now, and it's been both my pleasure and true honor and blessing from God to serve you here. Your love and support have been a great deal to me. And your respect is an obvious and I'm committed before God to presenting His truth and encouraging and even commanding you to both believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as I try to do myself and submit to Him as your Lord as I seek to encourage and command myself. Now it's come to our attention as elders that there is an area that needs to be addressed, not just in your life, but perhaps in all of our lives, and especially in particular, my life as a preacher, and that is our observation of the Sabbath day. It is time we all review God's command regarding the Sabbath and how we keep it, keeping in mind that we believe that the Sabbath day itself has changed from the first day of the seventh day of the week, Saturday, to the first day of the week, Sunday, because of Christ's resurrection from the dead. I will not get into the proof of that, but I restrict our study this morning to the matter of public worship. Put simply, put very, very simply, observing the Sabbath day by keeping it holy requires us to begin and our Sundays, our Sabbath, in corporate worship. It's not enough to do no work common to the other 6 days. We must also worship God. That is our main labor. And if you know anything in the scriptures, struggle with worship, it is work. We need to be worshiping our God every single Sunday, all day. And as a body, it's important that we do this as a body. Because then we encourage one another. When someone's not here, it does discourage people. And we're concerned that this congregation not undergo self-inflicted encouragement. We must worship God corporately as a church family. You should be worshiping at home, using the day to serve the Lord and honor Him, but you should be worshiping together with us as a church family. And that's not a redundant because you're here listening to me and listening to the corporate worship service. But I assure you, I'm seeking to do us all good this morning with what I'm about to say. I am not in any way disappointed with you. I am disappointed sometimes with myself in the way I use the Sabbath, but I trust that we are on the same page here. We just need a little bit of review. Consider with me then the teaching of the fourth commandment given in our text. The text, first of all, tells us that we're to remember the Sabbath day. We're to remember the Sabbath day. What are we to remember? Verse 8. We are to remember the divine pattern of work. 6 days, verse 9, you shall labor and do all your work, but the 7 day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. We're to remember the divine pattern of work. The Lord worked for 6 days. Were they 24-hour days? I'm inclined to say yes. There are Bible scholars who say no. How can it possibly be that so much was done in a 24-hour day? Well, that is anything too hard for the Lord. No. No. He speaks and it's done. How quickly? We see in Scripture the Lord healing lepers. So treatment for leprosy could take at least a few days, if not a few weeks and months. But Jesus just said, I will be clean, and they were clean. Taking care of a blind man could take intense surgery, but Jesus said, receive your sight, and it's done. Why would it be hard for the Lord then to complete 6 days? The creation of everything in the earth, the sea, the land, and everything in and all manner of life. And so it's made clear that it happened in 6 days. God has given us the same length of time to do our work as our Creator used for the work of creation. Look at verses 8 and 11. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy, verse 11. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. And therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. The word holy, you know, means set it apart for God's special use, his authorized special use. He wants the Sabbath day used for his purposes. And this comes out of course, the creation of the heavens and the earth. Reference is made by Moses to this, the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, in Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed, and all their hosts. By the seventh day, God completed his work with which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it to make it holy, because in it he rested from all his work which God had created and made. He rested. He ceased working. Was he tired? No. He's God. He doesn't get tired. But he rested. He ceased labor, and that sets the pattern. We've been created in God's image, and when he made man in his own image, he intended Adam and his posterity to do as he, their creator, did with his time, they were to do the same thing with their time. 6 days of labor, 1 day of rest. Did he give a reason for it? Yes, because that's what I did. Yeah, because that's what I did. When my father attempted to teach me, he said, just do what I do. Well, that was hard. But I learned. Long time, a lot of swallowed water, but I learned. Is it hard to learn to rest on the Sabbath? As God rests, it can be. It can be. The whole tenor of our society says, the Sabbath day is another day off. You've worked hard enough. You worked 5 days in the office, in the factory. You've been working hard in the kitchen all week long. Saturday, you've got to finish up what has to be finished up, and dad and kids have to do the work around the house. But on Sunday, we get to do what we want because we work hard. And really, that gets to it, doesn't it? What is it you want to do on the Sabbath? Isn't that the real question? What is it you want to do on the Sabbath? And the question should be framed this way. Do you want to do what you want to do? Or do you want to do what your Creator and Savior wants you to do? When my dad said clean the room, he didn't mean go out and play in the backyard. Doing that would have had clearly desperate consequences. I didn't say go out in the backyard. I said go clean your room. We disobeyed. sanction, that's a nice way to put it, your sanction for disobeying. When God says, work 6 days, he means work 6 days. It doesn't mean you have to be at the job 6 days a week. Well, for some people, it does mean that. If you're a policeman, if you happen to be a laborer whose work requires Monday through Saturday work, yes. But if you're at home, other labor needs to be done, taking care of business around the house, doing rounds of trips to the store, repairing the roof, doing maintenance work on the car, 6 days of labor. And so Sunday is set apart as different. But in the second place, that means all of man's work and recreation and all of his other responsibilities are fulfilled on these 6 days, Monday through Saturday. God always intended man to do all his work with his sweat and earnest in just 6 days. Genesis 1:19. Thus, the heavens and the earth were completed in all their hosts by the seventh day God completed his work which he had done. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done, and then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified because in it he rested from all his work which God created and made together. How many times did he say he rested? He rested. He rested. Where you get the point. But that also includes recreation. Not just sweat and labor, but recreation. Why? Because our recreation involves our labor. Now, when you're doing things you like to do, that's sweet recreation. That's sweet labor. You don't mind putting the effort in to play a football game. You don't mind putting the effort in to go out and run a race. You don't mind putting the effort in to go for a walk. It's something you want to do. Our recreation does involve labor, and often that of others. We go to the store, who checks us out? Unless you have a self-checking aisle in the store, and some people have that everywhere. Or if you go out to eat, you have waiters. If you go to a movie or a play or a concert, you have ticket takers. If you do not happen to have a car, you have a bus driver, or you have people who are driving the train. When we went on vacation, we didn't fly the plane, I promise you. We had a pilot in the plane. They do the work on the 6 days of the week that we are given to labor. And the Lord saves us by his son's sacrifice accomplished on Friday. Not on the Sabbath, but on Friday, the day before the Sabbath. And then Jesus rested in his grave on the Sabbath. You see how God observed a Sabbath from creation, and then a Sabbath from the work of salvation. He rested on the Sabbath in both cases. And therefore, the Sabbath day is blessed, it's made, and it's called Holy Day by God, which means it was set aside as his special day. It belongs to him as we do to be used as he wishes. You have a Mother's Day. If you're doing it right, mom is free from the labor of that day of making meals and making sure the kids are in order so that she can rest, because that's her special day. On your birthday, you like to be given things that, to do that are pleasant. Don't bother cutting the lawn, just watch the game. Who'll do the lawn? Well, that's what we got kids for, huh? You don't have to do that today. This is your special day. We do that all the time. We do that all the time. The Sabbath day is blessed and made and called holy by God. It's his special day. It belongs to him. As you do, to do with it as he wishes. Listen to his command and sanctions. We're going to go through a few texts. Exodus 16:23. Exodus 16:23. I'll start with verse 22. And now on the sixth day they granted twice as much bread, the manna, 2 omers for each one. When all the leaders of the congregation came and told Moses, they said to him, this is what the Lord meant. Tomorrow is the Sabbath observance. a holy Sabbath to the Lord. Bake what you will bake and boil what you will boil, and all that is left over, put aside and kept until morning. And the idea was, every other day, if they waited, it would become moldy, it would become filled with worms. So they put it aside until morning, as Moses ordered, and it did not become foul, nor was it any worm in it. Moses said, eat it today, for today is the Sabbath of the Lord. Today you will not find it in the field. Some people went out, it says in the 27th verse, to look for manna, and there was, and the Lord got angry. That's because they were not to look for manna. They were to gather what they needed on Saturday, and by the Lord's grace and mercy and his power, it was enough to satisfy for 2 days. Then turn to Exodus 31, 14. Exodus 31, 14 and 15. Therefore you are to observe the Sabbath, for it is holy to you. Notice how the Lord said it's already holy to the Lord your God, and now he's saying it is holy to you. In other words, you're to take it as being holy to you, set apart. Everyone who profanes it shall surely be put to death. For whoever does any work on it, that person shall be cut off from among the 6 days, work may be done, but on the seventh day, there is a Sabbath of complete rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day, surely be put to death. Now, how serious is that? That's the same penalty for killing someone. The same penalty as taking the Lord's name in vain. It's the death penalty for the Sabbath breaker. And then turn to Leviticus 16:31. Leviticus 16:31. And here the Lord says what's to be done on that day of rest. It is the Sabbath of solemn rest for you, that you may humble yourselves, so there's a permanent statute. Now that has to do with the Day of Atonement. But that's the point of a Sabbath. That's the day, the point of a Sabbath. Solemn rest. And then Deuteronomy chapter 5, 14 and 15. Deuteronomy 5, verses 14 and 15. Start verse 13. 6 days shall you labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God, and if you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, or your male servant, or your female servant, or your ox, or your donkey, or any of your cattle, or your sojourner who stays with you, so that your male servant and your female servant may rest as well as you. You should remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out of there by a mighty hand, and by an outstretched arm. Therefore the Lord your God commanded you to observe the Sabbath day. I brought you out of Egypt to rest in me. Now you rest in me especially on the Sabbath, the seventh day of the week. Where, trivia question, where in the New Testament do we find this rule change? If you work 6 days and you can do whatever you want on the seventh day other than rest. Answer. Nowhere. 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 You might say, try to say this change with the coming of Christ, but I would challenge you to prove that from the New Testament. Leviticus 16:31 says otherwise. It used to be a Sabbath of solemn rest for you that you may humble your souls. It is a permanent statute. Permanent statute. We live as Americans under the expectation that the Constitution is a permanent rule of law for the way our country lives. And what do we say when someone tries to do something that goes against the Constitution? You can't do that. That's unconstitutional. I have my rights. You can't do that because the Constitution says you can't do that. And I'm allowed to do what I want because the Constitution says I can. Has it occurred to you that if we say we don't need to worry about resting on the Sabbath, we're saying to God, you've got no right to tell us what to do. But that's what we're doing. We're unilaterally changing a divinely given statute. And would the God known stewards do not in our pockets for that? But no. You deserve to die if you violate God's Sabbath. That's what you deserve to do. You will not find anything in the New Testament that teaches that the command to rest is changed with Christ's coming and salvation. And indeed, Jesus himself has the final word on this in Matthew chapter 5, 17-19. In the midst of the Sermon on the Mount, with all its glorious promises and statements, we read this. Do not think that I came to abolish the law or the prophets. I did not come to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter or stroke shall pass through the law until all is accomplished, except for the Sabbath commandment. Right? No. No exception. Not one small letter or stroke shall pass through the law until all is accomplished. Whoever then annuls one of the least of these commandments, and sometimes we treat the Sabbath commandment as one of the least, and teaches others to do the same, shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. What are those teachers? There are some teachers who want to be shocked at the very least at the Lord's reaction to them saying, do what you want on Sunday. But those who that will be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever hates and teaches them, he should be called great in the kingdom of heaven. And let's add verse 20. For I say to you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Put that into the context of the Sabbath. And boy, the scribes and Pharisees had a ton of rules, minute rules, almost how far you can move your little finger on a Sabbath day. You've got to be more exact and righteous in your keeping of the commands than that. Nobody here can do that, which is why Jesus came to die. One reason he came to die. Christ did not come to abolish the Ten Commandments, and certainly not the Fourth Commandment. He came to save you from punishment for breaking them, and enable you to keep those commandments, including the Sabbath commandment. Don't try and keep the Sabbath day of your own strength. Your flesh doesn't like it. So pray to the Lord, and we'll help you mortify your flesh. Now let's bring this into the 21st century in our use of the Sabbath day. The labor we're commanded to perform on the Sabbath day is that of loving the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Yes? First and greatest commandment, yes? But how? First by faith in Christ his Son. Christ his Son died to save us from our sin and to make us holy. And that is the work of all 7 days, being holy. But, second by God's grace, we produce the fruit of obedience to God's law, the Ten Commandments, and that includes keeping the Sabbath day holy. We don't do this on our own effort, on our own strength. And notice the obvious fact that there's no expiration date on the Fourth Commandment. How many different ways can I say that? Anywhere in Scripture. No expiration date. Let's put this in the most positive light possible then. Before Jesus came, we were not able to come into God's presence because of our sins. In Isaiah, in his appearance before the throne, in his vision in Isaiah chapter 6, he illustrates this. The Lord suddenly appears to him. Isaiah 6:1-5. In the year of King Uzziah's death, I saw the Lord sitting on the throne, lofty and exalted, with the train of his robe filling the temple. Seraphim stood above, and each having 6 wings with two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one called out to another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Notice the reaction of creation to that description and declaration of God's holiness. The foundations of the thresholds trembled at the voice of him who called out. Well, the temple was filling with smoke. Have you been in an earthquake tree yet? How about here? Once in Pennsylvania, here a couple of times here since we've been here. The whole earth shook. And I said, woe is me, for I'm ruined. Knowing God is holy, he says, because I'm a man of unclean lips, and I live among the people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts, the Holy One. Then one of the seraphim flew to me with the coal in his hand, which he gave him from the altar of God. Behold, this is not true, but your iniquity is taken away, and your sin is forgiven. Unholiness is taken away. By his death and shed blood, Jesus cleansed us of our sin and enabled us to come without fear into the presence of our holy God. All our sins taken away. Benefits of his death and shed blood is that now we can keep the Sabbath rest by worshiping God in holiness because in Christ we are holy. In Christ we're clean of sin. There's no sin to distract God, no sin to cause his judgment to fall upon us because the sin was all taken by Jesus. And we were made holy as Jesus is in him. And one of the benefits of his death and blood. He said, his dead blood, he said, now we can do the Sabbath rest by worshiping God in holiness. We came into this room by God's grace as a holy people. From God's perspective, he sees no spot or wrinkle in our lives because he put all the spots and wrinkles on the Christ. And now we have his work of righteousness. We can enter God's presence without fear, although we ought to come. Fear of violating holiness, fear of offending him, fear of allowing our thoughts to distract. We ought to be afraid of dishonoring God, insulting God, being unsanctified in our attitudes and our thoughts. You and I need to keep in mind the command to be holy in all we do. We read that in 1 Peter 1, 13 through 16. That goes double for the way we use the Sabbath. Each day we're to examine ourselves regularly for sin and confess it and ask God's pardon, and he promises to do that. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, says John. Whoever lives to intercede for us. And this enables us then to worship with a clear conscience. Only fear and love the Lord our God on Sundays as he commands us. Okay, you tracked it this far. Then you must have a question or two where you're not really even thinking as clearly as you might or applicatorily. First of all, why make a big deal about morning and evening services? Right? Why is it not sufficient to attend either one and then rest the rest of Sunday? That's a logical, not a bad question at all. We'll consider our text, which refers to the Sabbath day. I don't want to be too particular about the English language, but it doesn't say hour. It doesn't say hour and a half. Doesn't say afternoon or morning, it says day. And when I was in school, that meant 24 hours. Allowing for 8 hours, 12 hours of night. It's a day, dear people. Biblical worship then takes place morning and evening in Scripture. Psalm 92, 1 and 2. Psalm 92, 1 and 2. And I'm taking the time to go through this now because there are people who say, well, you're being picky. No, I'm talking Scripture, not Psalm 92, 1 and 2. It is good to give thanks to the Lord and to send your praise in praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness by night or at night, depending on your translation. Morning and night. Psalm 141, 1 and 2. Psalm 141, 1 and 2. O Lord, I call upon you, hasten to me. Give ear to my voice when I call to you. May my prayer be counted as incense before you, the lifting up of my hands as the evening offering. The assumption is he does it in the morning, and now he says he does it in the evening. God wants to meet with you morning and evening. And by the way, that's a good rule for the rest of the week. Meet with the Lord in the morning without. Before you say good morning to your wife or your husband or your children, say good morning to the Lord from the heart. Good morning, Lord. Thank Him for the rest you receive, more than I gave you that you lived through. At night, greet Him as you go to sleep and ask for His guidance in your thinking as you sleep, your protection. As you sleep. God is not a nice addition to our day. He is your day. He is the context of your day. And we are warned not to forsake worship in Hebrews 10:25. And you promised when you became a member here, in Ecclesiastes 5:4, you promised. Promise that you would join with us in worship. And when is worship heaven? When is worship taking place in the congregation? Morning and evening, except some days when we might do it earlier, we allow for our time and fellowship. Ecclesiastes 5:4 says, you make a vow to God to not be late in paying it, for it takes no delight in things. Pay what you vow. You vow to government and church. And when the elders say there are two services, you remember that vow. You'll be present at that time. What kind of marriage do you think would last and stand the test of time, a time if one or both husband and wife spent time with other lovers in their place? How long would your husband? If you found out you've seen someone outside. How long would your wife live, dear brothers, if you found out she was seeing someone on the side? I dare not accuse you of wanting to commit murder, but you might be ready to say he or she is dead to me. If they cheat on you. That's a serious problem. You think I'm exaggerating? My last pastor and no one marriage killed by the husband's selfishness. He wasn't seeing anyone else. He was dating himself. He was taking good care of himself and not his family. And then he devastated five young girls with his selfishness. They were terrified of him. One girl, when her mother was not home, mother, father, or counseling, marriage counseling, as it turns out, one girl was making her father's sandwich for the next day. She dropped it on the floor. And her wife said she was shaking and trembling as though he were there. Knowing what he would say and perhaps do to her if he saw her drop it on the floor. Selfishness. Times 25. I know of another that was wrecked because the wife took on a lover and seeked for less than a year before the marriage ended. You are married, along with the rest of the church, to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he wants your undivided attention on the Sabbath. He wants it every day, as other day of the week as well, but especially on the Sabbath. And he has earned that by his death. He has purchased you, and he commands you on Sunday to rest and worship. It's not an optional extra. Beloved, God wants your undivided attention each day of the week. But the Sabbath is his special day. He has given you 6 days to do all your work and all your other work and fun activities, 6 24-hour days to do, use to his glory as you wish. The only qualification he needs to his glory, to his pleasure, not violating his law. Otherwise, make yourself happy. 24 hours a day, 6 days a week, go for it. But he is commanding you to use his Sabbath to worship and adore and serve him. And yes, that may include helping others in his name. Someone comes to the door. My car broke down and I need to get my wife to the doctor. I'm sorry, I rest on the Sabbath. Here's a couple bucks. Go hire a taxi. No! Jesus healed on the Sabbath. And he was God when he did that. Therefore, it is righteous and just and important to God to do good for others on the Sabbath when called upon to do it. That's not an exception. That's part of keeping the Sabbath day holy. And he has set aside morning and evening to be used for your formal worship. 2 to 2.5 hours each Sunday. Out of about 12 to 14, you have to rest. I'll tell you what you can do with it if you don't know. But I think this congregation is clever enough to know. You ever say, I would like to know more about the book of Isaiah or the book of the Song of Solomon or the book of Psalms, and I just don't have time to study it with a commentary? Guess what? I hereby declare the time between the end of the service and the evening service today a free time to do that. Remember, I teach your family about that book too. Personal study, encourage your children, parents, to use that time to try to read and understand the Bible. Use it to teach your kids the catechism. Use it to call relatives up and tell them about the Lord. Preach the gospel to others. That's a fine use of the same. So I challenge you all, and I challenge myself as well. The Lord's Day Sunday is your God's property, his day of rest and worship. He shares it with you to be used for his glory and purposes. As with Christ, as I said already, you may do your neighbor or one another services of good and use it to help you in times of need. It cannot be met on any other day of the week. Christ healed on the Sabbath. And he tells us it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath. But the most important thing he wants us to do is worship together as a body and hear his word. And find his comfort and joy and encouragement in worshiping together. And here I simply want to encourage you. If you know someone in the church who struggles with this, and you are persuaded, and I hope you are, of the need to worship twice on Sunday. There's an old joke among the pastors. The minute you're editing a sermon of someone, it's almost a dead certainty they will be there. And everybody else is saying, what's the big deal here? And you're hoping that that one person present and weren't. That's a dumb thing for pastors to do. But we do that once in a while. We're like that. Do your brothers and sisters a favor and obey Scripture and teach one another how to obey the Lord. Brother and sister, I understand that's important to you. But this is Sunday. I'll help you with it tomorrow. But let's you and I be strict and pray together. Come over to our house and we'll worship together as two families together. We learned how to do that when we were locked down. There were families who gathered together in their homes and listened to the Word of God and even sang the hymns based on the website. Praise God, I and others who do that. This is Sabbath. We need to encourage each other, not control each other, not insult each other, but encourage one another because we need it. A mother has Mary taking care of the kids all day. We have Mary taking care of our souls. We're to encourage one another. This is what I want you to do. I want you to listen to the last couple of things I have to say to people who have not been here. First question, where have you been most Sunday evenings these past weeks when you should have been worshiping with us? And why are you there not in church worshiping with us? Well, I would sit and get a pass. I had a family emergency. You get a pass depending on the emergency. Second question. Do you have any repenting to do in this area of your life? It's not for me to tell you that. I just did. So, you deal with that before the Lord. And third, what will you be doing tonight, Sunday night at 5 p.m., if not working with us? Why? That may be the toughest question. Beloved, I'm not crying. Killjoy, I'm not trying to say I'm better than you, I'm not. I've worked hard to change my Sunday habits at home. It's not easy. The phone is too regularly used for other activities. We're calling family. There are too many distractions. I'm a good book that teaches you about the Bible. Our Father in heaven, we thank you. May you are patient with us as your children. And that in Christ we are forgiven for our sins. And we pray, O Lord, that we will also be repentant of them. And help us as a congregation to encourage one another to worship together. Sunday morning and Sunday.